We founded our company with a mission statement: to treat our clients like family and help with your tax problems like they were our own. Call us for a free consultation. Tell us about yourself and your tax problems so we can work together to make your life better for you and your family. Again, for a free consultation, call us at 855-346-1788. That's 855-346-1788.
This land of ours is under attack. The time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see, don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my power, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my feet of God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. Telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. No.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Friday, March 27, 2026 edition, your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Pastor Chatfield has a history lesson all lined up for us today. Interventionism versus isolationism, a historical overview. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yes, it's been an ongoing debate from the very beginning. Ever since we became a nation. Okay, now, so let me start off by saying, yes, when we declared our independence, when we became a nation, we declared the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature of nature's God entitle them. We believe that that countries are separate and equal. That's true enough. Okay, we believe in the autonomous, indigenous United States. We're an independent, sovereign nation. However, from the get-go, we sent Ben Franklin over to France and tried to convince France to help us in our fight for independence from Great Britain. And eventually, after the Battle of Saratoga, they did join with us. So on the one hand, we believe in separate but equal, but we wanted help. We wanted help, and we got it from France. They were very important, especially the Navy blocking in Cornwallis there at Yorktown in 1781, and not allowing the British Navy to come in and evacuate Cornwallis and his troops, and that was very pivotal. All right, so we become a nation. We have a Treaty of Paris, 1783, a revolution in France in 1780 off Louis the 16th, and I will remind you this, that it was Louis the 16th's government that helped us in 1783. But then Britain and France had gone to war multiple times throughout the entire 18th century, and now they're going to war again at the end of the 18th century. And here was the argument: should the United States help France in their war, another war with Great Britain? And there was a debate over this. The Democratic Republicans, Jefferson, Madison, were basically arguing this. Look, we need to help France. France helped us. And France is, they don't have a monarch at that point. At that point, they didn't. Now, later, they go back to another Bourbon king. They go back to monarchy again. But at that point, no king. We need to help France. But Hamilton and the president, Washington, said no. Immediately, when the war broke out again between Great Britain and France, Washington declared neutrality. We're not going to intervene. We don't want to be involved in any entangling alliance. And he made that very clear in his farewell address. And that was kind of the policy of the United States. We're not getting involved in European wars. And that we just our wars were in around our borders only. Okay, and you've heard me talk about the Mexican War in 1846, and there was some difficult things. Should we have gone to war with Mexico at all? We did. We gained a lot of territory. That's history. I'm not going to go over that today. But then, when we're going into the 20th century, most of Europe was the powerful nations of Europe. They were stretching out. It's called the Age of Imperialism. And we'll talk about that on the other side.
Sounds good. Perfect spot for a break. He's Pastor Chatfield. I'm Chuck Arandy. We'll be right back.
A book by Rick Randall, Road Trip, the Good Words book for success. Good words that both young and old alike need to add to their vocabulary to impact their thoughts, emotions, behavior, and ultimately their reality in life. Road Trip's Good Words, positive thinking, and daily pep talk will improve your attitude, impress everyone you come in contact with, and lead to a better, happier, more fulfilling life. Get your copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Pass the positive. Road Trip, the Good Words book by Rick Randall.
Hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From Noble New Tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat
and terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
Chuck or Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. patriotsrelief.com.
Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY or call 800-654-9659.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment, history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. Sir, go ahead and pick it up right where you left off.
Okay, the Spanish-American War, 1898, three-month war. Splendid little war. I think this is what McKinley called it and Teddy Roosevelt. Splendid little war. We helped the Cubans get their independence from Spain and took, at that time, gained territory, the Philippines, Guam, Puerto Rico. Now, what should we do after Spain was defeated? Well, we decided we were going to keep some of that territory, but that was not a foregone. That wasn't a completely unanimous decision. Whoa, wait a minute here, America. I thought we believed in independence. Yes, we do. But you got Spain controlling Cuba, just 90 miles from Florida. We don't like that. And neither are we going to walk away from Cuba because we create a power vacuum. We're going to kind of control Cuba. And once they're able to rule themselves, then we'll give it back. Same with the Philippines. When it comes to Puerto Rico and when it comes to Guam, we never gave it back. Those are, to this day, American territories. All right. There was this whole idea, something around 1900 was called white man's burden. What does that mean? We're civilized, and we need to help the brown people there in the Philippines govern themselves. Well, that's racist. Well, it is what it is. It wasn't. We viewed ourselves as superior, and that wasn't just McKinley that thought that, and Roosevelt. That was we all thought that. And we're going to help the Filipino people set up a government. We're going to help them. And we've had a special relationship with the Philippines since that time for the last 125 years. Okay. And when it comes to Cuba, we eventually pulled out and let Cuba govern themselves. And as you know, the Castro rose to power, I think it was like 1957. It became communist, still is. It's teetering. We'll see what happens. Well, that's their country. They're a sovereign nation. Well, that was Castro overthrew the Batista regime. Do you recognize that? And do you intervene? Do you let them go? They're only 90 miles from our border. Same thing's true, by the way, with Mexico. Around the same time, a little bit after. Do we let Mexico do whatever they want? If Mexico can't, even to this day, if Mexico cannot control the drug trade, do we let them just fall into chaos? Do we let the drug cartels take over Mexico? Or say, well, no, wait a minute, we don't want drugs flowing across the border of Mexico to the United States. We're not going to let that happen. And President Trump, even to this day, is kind of saying, whoa, Mexico, you better control things or we're going to come in there and control it for you. Should we intervene? Is massive amounts of drugs coming across the border, does that hurt us? Is that worth intervening? If we intervene, does that violate our principles? This is questions we've had like that. Around the turn of the last century, not 2000, 1900, there was a guy named, a little bit after, Pancho Villa, who was a bandit. It kept crossing our border, and we just, without a declaration of war, we went in there. John J. Pershing was sent to, hey, we're going to run this guy down. We got to find, we never did find Pancho Villa, but we violated Mexico's sovereign borders because we thought our sovereignty was threatened. And we did what we did. Move on to World War One. We avoided war. Actually, Woodrow Wilson ran for re-election in 1916 with the slogan, he kept us out of war, but in 1917, we joined the war. And up until that time, we never joined a European war, but we felt like we had to do it. And Germany's announcement of a return to unrestricted submarine warfare was almost like a declaration of war, not completely. When Germany said, any ships that are sending anything to Britain, we're going to sink them. They said, well, you can't do that. And so we went to war. Was there an imminent threat? Well, by the way, that's a dumb even statement. Imminent threat. What does imminent mean? Any second threat? Well, if you got a ship in the area, I guess it might be any second, but you might have 5 minutes before you know you're going to sink. An imminent threat. Iran, to this day, we move forward because you know where I'm going here. Iran was not an imminent threat to us. What do you mean imminent? You mean they're going to have a nuclear weapon within 2 minutes, 30 seconds? Or do you mean 2 months or a year or 10 days or whatever? I've heard so many different reports. You know, when people say, well, Iran was not an imminent threat, who says it has to be an imminent threat? The word imminent means at any moment. Is it a threat? Is a nuclear-armed Iran a threat to us and our interests? Did the regime there in Iran for the last 50 years, did they promote terrorism? Do people in our country think that it is a gigantic conspiracy that 50 years ago they took 52 Americans hostage? Is that conspiracy that they have been funding terrorist groups around the globe? Is that a conspiracy?
Yeah, but you see, on that point, so many people don't even remember those hostages. You and I do. I mean, I remember Ronald Reagan. You know, when I'm sworn in as president of the United States, if those hostages are still there, I'm going to blow Iran off the face of the earth. And I, Ronald Wilson Reagan, do solemnly swear in a split screen.
Yep, had a C-130
cargo plane and those hostages walking into the plane.
Well,
he ended up saying, so help me God, the door was shut and they were airborne.
Randy, that the Jews who control all the media outlets in the United States, that split screen, that was fake news. You probably believe that we actually landed on the moon, and you probably don't believe that the earth is flat. Don't you understand that the Jews did their conspiracy? They're so great at it. I mean, it's just utter nonsense. Iran, their Islamic clerics have threatened the United States and said death to America for decades and have conspired. This is such open history. Have tried to kill us and Israel. And now we all say that didn't happen? Is that what we're saying now? Let's come back to our borders and they won't do it again. Listen, the people in Iran, the Ayatollahs who've run the country for 50 years, hate Christianity, hate America. We're the great Satan. Is there people out there don't believe that they've actually said that?
Well, not only that point, but they are a completely different breed of Islam.
Right.
They go after other Islamic countries in the Middle East. And I mean, it's absolutely amazing how those countries have tolerated Iran all these years.
Well, and I've explained this to our listeners. Listen, Iran is a Shia minority, Shiite, a sect, a portion of Islam, a minority portion, that really is tied up and they're looking for this Muslim Christ, this Muslim world leader to come, and they think that a gigantic war will bring about that happening. You know, when we were in the Cold War and we had mutual assured destruction with the Soviet Union and the leaders of the Soviet Union did not have a death wish upon themselves. But the clerics in Iran kind of do. They've wanted to start a war. They've openly professed it. It's in their theology. It's what they want to do. Okay. You know, that is the way that is. And so, again, moving in history, you know, after World War One, Woodrow Wilson, a progressive, true, he says, look, and I think he wanted to do right. I know a lot of people call him an evil guy. I don't think he was evil. I think he was a utopianistic leader that thought we're going to make the world safe for democracy. We're going to, World War One was the war to end all wars. Let's get together. form peace, have a peace treaty, form a League of Nations, and let's so we don't have any more wars. We'll just talk and we'll resolve our differences peaceably through negotiation, debate.
Right.
Listen, he came back with that treaty, Treaty of Versailles, and the Senate never ratified it. Nope, we were not ready for that. Henry Cabot Lodge, senator from Massachusetts, I've read this speech on your program a couple of times. It's been a while, but you know, talking about I can fly from any Mongol banner. I have one flag that I support, the United States, and we're not going to join the League of Nations. And so the United States never ratified the treaty, never became law. We just went back to the armistice that was signed earlier, and that's later became November 11th, 1918. We later became for us Veterans Day. Okay, but the argument is, should we intervene? Should we police the world? Between World War One and World War Two, we went back to isolationism. I think it's fair to say that isolationism, not just America first, but isolationism. But after December 7th, 1941, and then the next day when we declared war on Japan, we said, no, we're going after them. we're going after Japan. And we came up, we were a sleeping giant that was awakened. And we went to war. And we're going to win this war. And we had a declaration of war by the Congress. This is the World War II was the last official declaration of war the United States has made. Everything else since then, with all the presidents, there was no declaration. No declaration of war. Even there was, moving forward a little bit, the global war on terror, President George W. Bush. He did get congressional approval. He did get congressional approval to use force, but really wasn't a declaration of war, but in effect it was. Now listen, Vietnam War, we had no declaration of war. 58,200 Americans died in Vietnam.
Whoa. We never got a declaration of war from Congress on the Vietnam War?
Correct. No declaration. We had something called the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, which the Gulf of Tonkin incident is, we had a ship there in the waters of North Vietnam.
Okay.
In 1964, and a submarine shot up and hit one of our battleships, USS Maddox, and there was only one. And we claimed two later, but that's up for debate, the how bad it was. But Johnson went to the Congress and says, look, we need to fight back. So we had the Gulf, which gave us the right to respond. And from that, everything was expanded. It was never, and obviously you and I remember this. I mean, you think there was anti-war demonstrations today? Nothing like the Vietnam era. There was a lot of angst against that in our country, especially among those that were getting drafted. Now, before that, by the way, the